Philippians chapter 4, if you've been a Christian for a while, it should be a familiar passage. Actually, I memorized a lot of these verses way back when, out of King James Version, so sometimes I slip from New American Standard, NIV, into various other versions of the Bible and back to King James. But if they're not familiar with you, I hope that they will be, and sometimes we need a refresher course in these things. I would title the message this morning, "So You've Got Troubles?" We're going to look at the Apostle Paul in here. We read some as we started out. You remember back there in Acts chapter 9, the Lord said that he would suffer many things. The occasion for the letter to the Philippians, if you can't find Philippians, you know, it's after, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, right? So it's right there. Or I could go the other way and come in for Revelation and end up at Philippians too. But I could include that and be anxious for nothing. But well, the occasion for this letter, it's a thank you note. The Philippians, the church at Philippi, had sent an offering to the Apostle Paul, who was in prison in Rome. So I want to start in chapter 4, and I'm going to actually use the verses from 4 to 19. It's quite a chunk of scripture. We already looked at a chunk out of Acts. Paul says something here that James repeats. James says in his book, he says, "Count it all joy when various troubles and trials fall upon you." Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled, going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Claim that verse and hang on to it. The ride is going to be wild. "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's another claim verse you need to grab a hold of. I'm going to might as well finish chapter 4. "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Well, I want to identify a little bit about this. We see that what the gift is a monetary gift, which we found there in verses 15 through 18. Is received in full, and it's been delivered by a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. And this is a thank you letter from Paul to the Philippian church. And I want to identify the church a little bit here. But where is Philippi? It's in the northwest, or excuse me, the northeast corner of Greece. Paul is in prison in Rome, and we'll look at that verse in a minute. He identifies he is in prison, and they have sent this gift by Epaphroditus. If you were to draw a straight line from Philippi to Rome, as the bird flies, it'd be about 600 miles. Now, he didn't go that way. Epaphroditus had to probably went by boat down through the Aegean Sea, across up the Adriatic Sea, maybe across Corinth, and then finally over to Italy. Rome is on the far side. That's a long trip. It's a long way to send a messenger. And who is the church? Well, we would find back in Acts chapter 16, I'm not going to turn back there, we would find the story of how Paul happened to be in Philippi and how he became acquainted with them. And we remember that story that he first met with a bunch of Jews who were meeting for prayer along the river. And with them was Lydia and her household. So these would be part, all of her household came to know Christ. And so this would be the Philippian church. But not only that, there was a little slave girl that got Paul into trouble to start with. And she was a prophetess to those around, and she bugged Paul every time she went by him. And Paul finally says, you know, get behind me, Satan, basically. And so she's probably a member of the church, too. She's the one that got Paul in jail. And then is in jail himself. And if you remember the story that Paul is in jail in Acts chapter 16. And he and Silas are in chains in the deepest part of the jail. And it says they were singing hymns. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, we're in jail, chains again. Yep, here we go. Like I say, you think you got troubles? Here's Paul. And at about midnight comes an earthquake. The place shatters and falls down, and the chains fall off. And Paul and Silas come walking out, and the jail is ready to commit suicide because the prisoners all escaped. Paul said, don't do that because nobody's escaped. We're okay. So the jailer, he became a Christian that night, and all his family, and they came to Christ. This is the Philippian church. And the Philippian church is still about what a great church that they were. It shows, as we have read, that they have been contributing to Paul all along. Now he's in prison in Rome. Well, this Paul writing this thank you note, we identify as definitely Paul that's writing the letter. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it identifies that Paul and Timothy are there, and they're authoring this letter, and they're sending this letter. Paul tells us in chapter 1, verse 12, 13, 14, he says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I'm in jail. So that my imprisonment, I'm in jail, for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And remember the one of the last verses in chapter 4 says, to all those of Caesar's household. That's amazing. The guards have come to know Christ because Paul is in jail. You know, that probably had long-time effects way after Christ, after Paul was dead, after Jerusalem was leveled, that the Praetorian Guard knew the Lord Jesus. Verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Do we have the courage to speak the word of God without fear? I had my trip to Illinois last week. I had 5 flights. It's from Manchester to O'Hare and Chicago, then down to Springfield, Illinois. And then on the return trip, it was back to O'Hare, Charlotte, North Carolina, back to Manchester. I had some interesting conversation with my seatmates. You know, a lot of times you get in a seat, if you've been on a plane, you sit there and nobody speaks. But I had this little thing to start talking with people on it. And it's very interesting conversations. We were at the airport in Springfield getting ready to board. It was early in the morning, it's about 5:30. You know, it's an older couple there, elderly, like my age. I had my USS Sea Cat hat on. And he says, what was the Sea Cat? I said, submarine. I says, on it in the 57 to 60. Oh, yeah. He said, where were you home ported? I says, in Key West. He says, I went to Key West one time. He says, it was in 1967. And he says, I've been in the medical field, and I was on a big ship. I says, well, I know what big ship you were on. You was on the USS Bushnell, a submarine tender. He says, that's right. I says, I was on that ship then when you were there. You see how, and we crossed so many paths in so many ways. And he come around, he and his wife, we had a wonderful conversation, and he wanted to know what I did after I retired from the Navy. I told him, I've been a pastoring a church for years. Went to Bible college, got my degree. You know, so on, and I was able to share Christ. His wife was a Christian, but he was not. But anyway, was able to share. The next flight from Chicago to Charlotte, North Carolina, there was a woman with her daughter. Her daughter was probably about 18, 19. And they were coming up to New York. And we got pretty much similar conversation going on over that period of time. And, you know, it got very interesting. And I was able to share again along the way. And then the last flight to Manchester, the guy that was in the seat next to me, he was an older guy, he was in his 70s. And I said, where are you from? I said, you from New Hampshire? He said, yeah, he said, I live in Nashua. I said, wow. He says, yeah, I'm going home. He says, this is just temporary. He says, I'm a trucker. He says, I truck for Raytheon. I've got a tractor trailer with a low bed on it. And he said, I've been to New Mexico. And they're supposed to have a foundation for this generator rig that I've trucked out there. And the foundation's not ready. So my truck's sitting there for 2 weeks. So I'm just going home to be with the wife for a couple weeks. Well, we got talking along. And his wife has dementia. Well, you know, we get talking back and forth like that. And I was able to share Christ with them. I'd like to say, you know, plant seeds along the way. But the conversation to steer around in that way. So sometimes we talked for 2 hours coming back. It was pretty good. It's all right. You can always share. Paul's situation, he shared wherever he was. Couldn't shut him up, put him in jail. How many times he'd been locked up? He's locked up in Jerusalem. He's locked up in Caesarea. He's locked up in Philippi. Locked up in Rome twice. Over and over again. But you couldn't shut him up. He praised the Lord that he could share the gospel even in that situation. Well, I'll look at the deliverer of this gift. The deliverer we find in, more about Epaphroditus in chapter 2. Let's see, chapter 2, verse 25. Well, Paul said in verse 19, he said, I had hoped to send Timothy to you. And then he said that in verse 24, he says, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it was necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. So Epaphroditus brought the monetary gift, and Paul is sending Epaphroditus back, actually kind of early, with this letter. Epaphroditus is going to send that book. That's how we've got the book today. But we need to look at the rest of chapter 2 here. Because he, Epaphroditus, longing for you all, and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Somehow a message got back over that 600 miles back to Philippi that Epaphroditus was ill. We don't know what the illness was. We don't know where on this trip that he got ill, but he was ill. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death. I almost think it was maybe something like COVID. Maybe he was attacked somewhere, although somebody would have robbed him and taken the money or something. Maybe he was in Rome or close to Rome when he got sick. We don't know. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but also on me, so that I would not have had sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I've sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So Epaphroditus is on the way. He almost died. He's carrying this letter. Well, I'll get back to where I started in chapter 4. I'm glad Florence is here this morning. My old saying, it's gonna be all right even when it's not all right. I've been saying that here in this church for years. And guess what? It's all right in it. We made it. I'll tell you, Florence is the official pastorette, and we couldn't operate without her. So thankful that our paths cross. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. We don't have a gentle spirit naturally. We kind of brought that up in the Sunday school lesson this morning about if somebody wrongs you, what do we want to do? Get even. I've always said, excuse me, Lord, I'm going to go over here, poke this guy in the nose. And I'll be in trouble, right? But God says, no. Paul says, no. They may have wronged Paul all along the way. And they surely did. But Paul didn't try to get even. And our natural self wants to get even. Paul had been jailed over and over again. You know why he got jailed? Disturbing the peace. Now, Tom knows what disturbing the peace is in the police force. Well, he was disturbing the police. He caused riots by proclaiming Christ. People didn't want to hear that their sin was not good. So, but we don't naturally have a gentle spirit. But I'll tell you what, that gentle spirit, he says, will be known to all men. It is a very uncommon thing to find anyone with a gentle spirit who won't get on your case. You see, we're naturally selfish people. And selfish people, I want to watch out for, number one. I want to be all right, okay? So I'm going to watch out for me. And when I've been wronged, I want to take care of it myself. I want to get even. This past week, there was a trial for a man in Derry who got into a road rage conflict. And it ended up, the driver got out of his truck and he went over and the guy's window was rolled down and he spit on him and threw a cup of coffee or something at him. The guy pulled a gun and shot him and he died. And he had two children in his truck. Well, that trial, he got, I don't know why they didn't give him life, but they gave him 25 years sentence for it. Gonna get even. And this stuff takes place all over, everywhere. You can hardly drive from here to Concord and not have somebody cut you off or pull something stupid on you. Well, we all do stupid stuff. It's natural to us. But having a gentle spirit is not. one of the things that we have. It's not natural to us. We naturally want to get even. You have to develop that gentle spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can give it to us. I always said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, the Lord is quoted from Deuteronomy 32. The Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." I always say, if I take vengeance into my hands, I'm taking over God's job. I'm doing His work. No, let God do His work. That's hard. When I've been wrong, there's so many things that go by all the time where we've been wronged. Well, Paul goes on to say, be anxious for nothing. And I always said about nothing, you know what nothing is? Big fat zero. And what do we worry about? Well, today's the 24th of the month. I don't know about you, but I get paid the first of the month. And I get to this point where there's too much month and not enough money. You get to that point, but it don't quite cover. We're at the end. You know what? See you next Sunday. I bet you we make it. Think? We'll all make it for sure. Isn't that great? God will bring us through. Rejoice in the Lord always again. You're going to make it. I said, well, we're anxious about everything, naturally. We want to know how it's all going to work out. You know what? I think it's worked out pretty good. I look at this point, I praise the Lord. I am so thankful for the life I've had. And I talk to my kids. We talk about the adventures we had. My kids had a wonderful adventure. I mean, they went to school in Groton, Connecticut, Key West, Florida, Pascagoula, Mississippi, San Diego, California, New London, Connecticut. Where'd your kids go to school? My kids, it was an adventure, and I talked to them about it today, and I got photo albums there at home, and I look back over the wonderful times that I praise God for. This past Wednesday was kind of a tough day because it was 38 years ago that I lost my first wife. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And I was asked about a month later, are you going to get married again? I said, that's a terrible thing to ask a guy. I said, you know, I don't know. If God's got somebody for me, that's okay. If He doesn't, that's okay. But I'm not going looking. And because of Rachel's Down syndrome son, Jeffrey, who was coming to church here regularly, Rachel came one Sunday morning, and she sat right back there just beyond where Glenn is sitting. I remember her walking in, and I always teased her about it because she was late. And I said, you know, after we got married, I said, I'm the pastor. I have to be on church on time. And we were notoriously always late, but, you know. And, you know, our natural self is I have to be on time. You know, you gotta be there. You can't do that in a marriage. You can't do it at all. The only way for a marriage to work is to not get on each other's case. And that's why Gene and I got along for 30 years. That's why Rachel and I have gotten along for 37 years, is we never get on each other's case. Because we all do stupid stuff. And my prayer each day is, Lord, don't let me do anything too stupid today, because I do. I've got the rule to turn off the stove, never leave the kitchen with the stove turned on. There goes another pan. Why? That's ourselves. We cannot cover all the bases and everything all the time, because stupid stuff just comes. And I look at what Rachel's been through and going through now. And I remember at the first of it, one of the first signs that we had that she had dementia, she was to meet me up here at noontime. I was going to work here at church. I said, you come in and we'll go to lunch together. We've done this many times. It got 1 o'clock, she hadn't showed up. I was getting concerned. Then pretty soon here she comes, she shows up. I said, where you been? She said, I couldn't find the church. The numbers of times we've been to this church in the last 40 years. She couldn't find the church. And you know, the first instinct is, well, that's dumb. That's stupid. It's not. That's where she is. Whatever, and then it's gone on deeper and deeper all the time. That was really some of the start. She walked into my study there at the house. She was carrying our wedding picture. And she says, I want you to have a picture of my husband, Al. I said, ooh. I said, well, who am I? She says, you're my father. In other words, the age from our wedding picture till now has changed, different, older. It couldn't be your husband. But you got to go with the flow on it. You can't get on, you can't say, well, that's dumb, that's stupid. It's got a never getting on one another's case. Well, Paul says to be anxious for nothing. We're naturally anxious about everything. We want to know how it's going to work out, how it's going to do it now. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but made it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't worry about it. When the time comes to lay this body down, we're going to jump out and hallelujah, we're going to be there. There'll be no life in the body. The operator has left. Goes to be with the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the Lord says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. All souls belong to the Lord. He's given it to us to use, given it to us to operate. We operate the body with it. And one of these days, he's going to take it back. He says, the soul who sins will die. Where do we get the soul? We get it at conception. The DNA of both the father and the mother, they combine to give the whole child. The characteristics of both father and mother are in the child. Moving on. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I thank him and I praise him. Before I get in the car, I said, Lord, don't let me do anything stupid or hurt somebody in some way. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. And he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, let not your hearts be troubled. He is the Prince of Peace. His peace is everlasting. We look for peace in the world, but he says, not as the world gives, my peace. He gives us a peace of mind when we're going into, we got all these troubles come upon us. In the midst of it, it's going to be all right. No matter what. We're going to make it. You watch. We will. I said, I've done many funerals. I've never had a funeral yet that person who died didn't make it. They got that far. They made it. You don't think you're going to make it? You're going to make it. Like I say, we got more month left than we got money, but we're going to make it. You watch. In verse 8, what a verse. Finally, brethren, I'm so used to reading this out of King James. King James says, whatsoever is true. The New American Standard says, whatever is true. Whatever is honorable, whatever is right. Look at all these positive attributes. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What do you dwell on? We dwell on the negative all the time. Isn't that something? I don't know. I why Why do I remember things when I was a little kid that I did some wrong stuff? I was disobedient to my parents. I don't remember the happy birthday parties I had, but I can remember when I got into trouble. When I went home that time and I fell in the pond, and I was probably about 7 years old, and my mother said, there's a raft in that pond, don't go on that raft. Guess what? I got on the raft. And guess what? The logs were slippy. Guess what? I fell in. I was soaking wet. I just lived up the street. Hope I dry off before I get home. Slop, 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 slop. I get home. My mother looks at me and says, what happened to you? I said, that. Nicky Dawkins pushed me in. Oh, she's right over to the telephone. No, Mom. She was on the raft, wasn't you? Yeah, it's like that. You get caught up. Why do I remember stuff like that, the bad stuff? And I can't remember the good, happy stuff that we had. We had a lot of good, happy. I had a great childhood. I can't. So we dwell. Why do we dwell on the bad stuff? And you can't go to sleep. But he says, dwell on the good stuff. So we want something to take us out of this bad stuff that we're dwelling on. So I know what. I think I'll get a new cell phone. You know, look at my cell phone. I've had about 4 years. They said, you know, it says it's out of memory. It says I can get a cell phone that'll do so much more than this old thing will do. But I remember when I got my first cell phone. It was a flop thing. You opened up. You could make calls on it and get calls on it. That was about the text. What's that? Just coming into being, like. So that was the answer to my problems. But what happened? Where's that phone now? Junk somewhere. Things that I go and grab a hold of instead of dwelling on what Paul says here, I'll get something new. How about your first computer? Rachel and I went to Ridgecrest in North Carolina back in the 90s. And they had a breakout session on getting a computer. People were just getting into it. So I think this was about 1992, 93. And I remember the guy that was the presenter, he says, if you get one with 4 megabytes of memory, that's all you'll ever need. I don't know how many gigabytes I got on this thing that's out of date. Isn't that something? And that was the answer to my problem. Where's that computer now? In a trash heap somewhere. I'll get a new car. Where's that new car? I don't know. I got new cars back in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. Where are they? Oh, in the junk heap someplace. They're gone. I wish I had them. They're worth money now. But satisfying ourselves with something, and then we watch it become old and obsolete. Well, it's not a natural thing for us to practice these things. And he's listed some beautiful things down there. And he says in verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We have to practice dwelling on these things. We have to practice not being anxious. It's not natural for us. It's natural for us to do other stuff. Paul goes on to say in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. You sent an offering. This is a thank you note. I thank you for it. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Ooh. Learned, catch that? Learn to be content. I have to learn it. It has got to be a lesson in life, and I have to work at it. He says he's learned to be content in whatever circumstances he's in. Remember Paul and Silas singing in the Philippi hymns in the Philippi jail? Content. Where is he now that he's writing this letter? He's in prison in Rome. He's learned to be content. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Let's see where Paul's been. He says here that he's boasting. He's boasting about the difference between the Jews and himself. He says, I'm a Jew. In verse 22, 2 Corinthians 11, 22. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm also in far more labors, in far more imprisonments. We know at least five times in prison. Beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Five times he's been scourged. Scourged, the same scourging that the Lord Jesus got. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That's what was at Lystra. He was taken outside the city and stoned and left for dead. I can picture him getting up. And the scripture tells us back in Acts, he walked back into the city of Lystra and began preaching the gospel. Couldn't shut him up. He says, three times I was shipwrecked. We know about one in Acts chapter 27. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on sea, dangers of false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of the concern for the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Well, like I could go into chapter 12 where he speaks about the thorn in his flesh. Something about Paul. Boy, has he been through it? Has he got the right to say, I've learned to be content in all situations? I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Can you imagine that? All that stuff we read about that he's been through and he's content? Verse 12, Philippians 4:12. I know how to get along with humble means, with nothing. I also know how to live in prosperity. Now that's something for us. If you was to win the megabucks, would you know how to live with it? Many people don't know. We learned, most of us, how to live in, with nothing. How would we learn to live with everything? I don't even buy a lottery ticket. I don't even want to be there. But he says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned, again, he learned, the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering. Content in poverty and content in prosperity. Where do we stand? Are you content? God wants us to be content with what he has given us. He's given us the body. He's given us the soul. Be content with. And I praise God. I am content where I stand. And I praise the Lord for it. I look back at my life and I look at it the way it's knit together for 89 years. You know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. I would not have it any other way. I praise him and praise him. And I think I can say I've been where Paul is. I've been in prosperity and I've been with nothing. You know, both ways. I remember when we was in Key West, we'd take a last quarter and buy three mullet and cut it up for bait and go out fishing and catch fish. We had some potatoes, we had some butter, and we had fresh fish. We lived through the last few days before payday like that. Many times we were without nothing, but other times we prospered. And easy come, easy go. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. They're going to make it. It's going to be all right, even when it's not all right. We got problems, he'll carry us through it. And I want to end on the last one, is verse 19. And Paul says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Think about the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What has Jesus got to offer to us? Everything. Everything in Christ. Riches in glory to provide whatever we need. Paul says, I made it this far, and I'm going to keep making it. And I made it this far, and I'm going to keep making it. And you made it this far, and you're going to make it the rest of the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring you through. So you got troubles? Yeah. It's going to be all right. Only with Christ. It's interesting that people have tried to eliminate Christ along the ways. They're still doing it. We have missionaries in trouble around the world. I received a note that on the 16th of August in 2023, an attack was made on churches and Christians in Jaranwala, Pakistan. Thousands of people gathered and attacked numerous churches, completely destroying them inside and out, taking Bibles, hundreds of Bibles burned in the churches affected by the violence that's going on. Pastor Jim mentioned last week about the martyrs that are in the world today, putting their lives online for Christ. We don't put our lives, we're sheltered here, and we can share the gospel freely. But sometimes we're afraid, even like starting a conversation on a plane with a passenger. But with Christ, I can do all things, and it's okay, whatever he wants me. And I feel sometimes that I haven't done enough for the Lord. And I look at the shape of our country, and I get to the point of, there's nothing I can do about it. But yes, there is. God's got me here for a purpose, as he does for all of you, to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will come upon us. I don't know where you stand with Christ today, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In order to do that, he needs to be your Savior and Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, those words seem quite simple. To rejoice in the Lord always. Apostle Paul, here he is, rejoicing in prison again and again and again. He's given us a gentle spirit. Let your gentle spirit, Lord, be made known through us. Father, you've told us not to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, Lord. You've given us the road where we'll have peace in our hearts in everything. You've told us what to dwell on in our minds instead of what is natural that we try to dwell on. You've promised to supply all our needs through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you have done it faithfully, Lord. You have never failed. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, if there's one here today that has never surrendered to the Lord Jesus, they might say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want that peace that passes all understanding. Forgive me of my sins and come in. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.